Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and I'm glad to be back with you. I'm not quite home yet. I'm in Maryland, and Shelley and I have had yesterday and today to rest, and tomorrow night we start a meeting here in Annapolis. You can find the all about it. You folks from Virginia and Maryland, I heard you there. You could get to the meeting. It's a prayer meeting, and it is for women. And but some of the meetings are open to the public, which probably means, you know, it's a conference. I think you can get on and pay to go to it. I'm not sure. But I think it's probably the evening sessions are open even to men and women. So we'll start that tomorrow night. Bless the Lord. It's good to be home. And, of course, giving you a report on Israel. We want to be sure now that we use as our text how important this is. It's going to be taking up the whole call today. Mm-hmm. And I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We're going to use our scripture that we pray first of all for those who are in authority. So that's what we were doing there. I was with a tour with Christians United for Israel Women's Leadership Tour. And one of the things that we did was we walked on the ramparts over the walls of Jerusalem. And from there, we had amazing prayer. And we prayed about the elections. We had a real anointing. As we prayed, the will of the Lord be done. We did not know the will of the Lord, didn't claim to know the will of the Lord. I had thoughts on Netanyahu's Likud party. I had thoughts on the blue and white party. And before I left, I talked to Brother Copeland. He said he'd been praying daily about the elections, and he had the assurance that the will of the Lord would be done. So I believe that's what happened. So here are the headlines this morning on the Jerusalem Post. Despite legal trouble, Netanyahu is set to remain its prime minister. Going down with the article, both Likud, that's Netanyahu's party, and the Blue and White party received 35 seats, which is a tie. But the right-wing bloc, the other right-wing parties that received seats, have said that they will support Netanyahu and that he has the Likud, and that they will form a coalition. And this is a clear majority, they say, with 98% of the votes counted. So, now here's the deal. When we were there and we talked to the men on the street, we talked to taxi cab drivers, we talked everywhere, and there's even an article in the Jerusalem Post today which says that the men on the street, they interviewed men on the street, and that the consensus is we don't want Netanyahu to be prime minister again. But, oh, he made quite a last-ditch effort. He went around. He went out on the beaches, and he told the right-wing people, if you don't go out and vote, we're going to have a leftist government. So here I'm going on now with the article that I started. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu won Tuesday's election, although his Likud party and Benny Gantz's Blue and White party each won 35 seats. Netanyahu is the one who will be able to form a governing coalition able to withstand a bribery indictment by Attorney General Mandelblit, according to the results after 98% of the votes have been counted. On February 28th, now, think about it. This had so much to do with affecting the election. But the Attorney General Mandelblit indicted Netanyahu pending a hearing. Details of the indictment that were not permitted to be released during the election could be leaked as early as Wednesday. The hearing is expected to take place in July, and the decision on the final indictment 6 months later. That's an amazing thing that's happening over there. It's the same thing. Now, I don't know whether he's guilty or not guilty. I know the men on the street said they didn't want him, but it looks like he's won. So it could be the same kind of a thing that is plaguing Donald Trump. I don't know. We'll see about the indictment. It's on bribery charges. I don't know anything about that. But I do know that we prayed that the will of the Lord would be done. I could see, even if the Blue and White Party won, that it's headed up by generals who were chiefs of staff. I had my questions about one man they added named Lapid. We had Christians United for Israel has amazing connections, and they had a man from a think tank, a Jewish man. However, he lives in the United States, but he travels all over the world, country after country after country. And the man that I was concerned about, the man named Lapid, he who had openly said he's going to court the Democratic Party, he said, I know Lapid, and he said, he said, we need Israel to be a two-party on both parties. We need both of them pro-Israel. And he said, Lapid's a good man. And he has been persuading some of the leading Democrats pro-Israel. So I don't know all about all that. But I know that after an exit poll that earlier showed a blue and white victory, it was changed to a narrow win for the Likud, which is Netanyahu. Netanyahu said the right-wing bloc led by Likud clearly won. I thank Israeli citizens for the trust. I will begin forming a right-wing government with our natural partners already tonight. Gantz announced that he won. But the president, here's how it works over there. The president, Reuven Rivlin, will meet with the heads of the parties that did what they called cross the threshold. They have lots of parties over there. And so you must get 3.25% of the vote to cross the threshold and be a party with seats in the government. So he's going to meet with these parties, Shas, UTJ, URP, and other that it will say they will join up with Likud and form a government. So the president has to say, Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud, you have a chance now to form a government of 61 seats. That would be the majority. Now, one of the big surprises in it all was the Arabs did not turn out and vote. So they have only a few seats in the government. You know, I think that's because the Arab ministers who were in the government were very much anti Israel, anti-Jewish. But the Arab people who are Arab Israelis, that means they live in, not in what's called the West Bank, but they live in Israel proper. And they have all the rights that the Israeli citizens do. They don't want some foreign Arab state. They want Israel. They have known prosperity, and it seems like they stayed away in droves. So the Arab seats were not as many. The surprise of the election was that a party that was led by Feiglin and had the education minister Naftali Bennett and justice minister Ayelet Shaked. We like them both. They're very far right-wing parties. They did not cross the threshold. So they will not have a seat in the Knesset. Maybe you read the Jerusalem Post and you like Caroline Glick. And she was in this party and she was seated. If they won any votes, you know, she would have been the third person to get a seat. But she won't be seated because they did not cross the threshold. Now, President Rivlin is going to have to announce who gets to start making a party. And for the first time, they're going to broadcast his meeting with the party heads live. This is for transparency. The meetings will begin next week after there is a final certified election result. And the basic law states that the president must meet with the representatives and tasking one of them to form the next government. Now here's something interesting I found out while I was over there in the papers. President Rivlin, which is an appointed office and really an office with, it really doesn't have any real power except here. It is kind of like, you know, he goes and he's a head of state in that he meets with other people. We go to his office. When I go to the Jerusalem prayer breakfast, he receives us in his office. He's a gentleman. But in the papers, I saw that he and Netanyahu have a feud, which goes back to their fathers. So the papers were speculating if it's close, you know, maybe he'll kind of favor giving the other ones the right. But it looks like it's pretty clear that he's going to have to give Benjamin Netanyahu the right to form the government. And from the parties that have said that they would support him, it looks like he will be the prime minister again. And then they've got this thing hanging over his head, you know. Now, we had a very interesting gentleman that was from a think tank. I told you about that. His name was Jonathan. He met with us and, oh, such a man. He knows all the leaders. He goes back and forth between all the leaders of all countries. He's on his way to China and on his way here and there. But he came, you know, and landed and then spoke to us from Washington, D.C., where he lives. And he was very interesting to talk to about these elections and about what is happening on the borders, what is happening. You know, we went to Miskavam, and that is the border with Lebanon. And there we saw right into the houses. If you've been there with me, you see that there's only a fence. And we saw right into the houses of where the Hezbollah has trained hundreds of thousands of Iranian missiles aimed at Israel. Now, the amazing thing that I saw at Miskavam that was so different than when we were last there, just in November, the military presence is huge. Miskavam used to be a very old kibbutz, which was also a security kibbutz, and had some military presence. Now, it looks like a huge information gathering military base with a small kibbutz there. All these things that I can't even tell you what they are, they just look like something from the future. Why? We saw where one of the tunnels came out just above Miskavam. One of those tunnels that they discovered had been dug to get the Hezbollah, which is the party of God. That's what it means, Hezbollah, Allah being the God. But it is Shia, and it is funded. It is an army, and it's well trained, and it belongs to Iran. And here's another thing we were told. With these hundreds of thousands of Iranian missiles aimed at Israel, they now are called smart missiles, many of them, and they are equipped with GPS. That means that it can launch a missile from just over the border in Lebanon, and it would hit Tel Aviv, and it could hit exactly the house that it was aimed for, the building that it was aimed for. The man that usually talks to us, Bezalel, if some of you have been there, Bezalel, he said it is now safer to live in Miskavam, where you're just, you know, across a fence, looking down into this supposedly town, village. People live there with their children, but they are all Hezbollah. He said no windows in the houses. They live on another floor below. And the windows in the houses all have missiles pointed at Israel. He said it is now safer to live in Miskavam than in Tel Aviv, because if they should fire, they won't waste firing on Miskavam, the kibbutz, but they would send their smart missile to Tel Aviv. We also went to the border of the Syrian border. The Valley of Tears is there. And there, of course, we had Ronnie Levy speak to us. It was a marvelous talk, a speech that he gives from his heart, giving a famous tank battle that was won there when it looked like all was lost in the 1973 Yom Kippur War. So what about the Syrian border? The Syrian border, the civil war in Syria has been, Assad regime has been propped up by Iran. So now you could say, with ISIS, you know, disarmed there, and some of the other terrorist groups, now the people in danger are those who have come against Assad. And he's been propped up by Iran. So there is the Iranian threat right there on all the northern borders. Syrian border, Lebanon border, and it's Iran, really. We also, of course, looked over into Jordan. But still, now here's the hand of God. It must have been the hand of God in the Israeli elections. And it must be the hand of God in the record number of tourists that are going to Israel. You hardly can get a hotel room. The travel agencies are telling us now that we need to book for 2021. Not enough hotels, not enough hotel rooms, and they are everywhere. They're a blessing to Israel. The economy is booming. I thought about, you know, Israel is the size of New Jersey. I thought about if on Gaza, from the Gaza Strip on the south, this is Hamas, they're sending missiles, and from the northern borders, it's Iran. I thought about Israel's the size of New Jersey. What about if on the southern border and the northern borders of New Jersey, missiles were pointed at the state? Hundreds of thousands. Would anybody visit New Jersey? Yet they are coming in record numbers to Israel. We have a tour. My next tour is going to be a 3BI, Billy Brim Bible Institute tour, study all the way, and we have set aside dates from February 13 to March 3rd. We're not sure which all of those dates we'll use. We're going to have to, you know, make hotel bookings. So some things are going to depend on that, which we're working right away. But if you want to come, you need to get on the list. Go to billybrim.org, and there will be a place for you to go to Israel Tours and tell them to put your name on the list for information. Doesn't mean for sure you're going, but that you want to go, and you will go if you can, but put you on the list for information. We are going to limit the size of that tour because it's going to be such an in-depth study tour. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There was an interesting, and I want to tell you something kind of funny. I was reading a book while I was there on the Mossad. One of their books on how they got the Ethiopian Jews home. And do you know what that word, Mossad, everybody knows about, not everybody, but the lovers of Israel like you, you on this phone call, you know what is the Mossad. The Mossad is the intelligence community, probably the best in the whole world. You know what it's the Hebrew word for? Institute. I laughed and told Shelley, we could call our school, online school that's coming up soon, the Billy Brim Bible Mossad. Hey, isn't that funny? And sometimes we feel like that as we're going around. There is. Now, I know that I'm giving you a lot of information. You're going to have to do your praying. These are like praying points. You're going to be needing to pray about for God's will in Israel and the outcome of the election and Benjamin Netanyahu. A good way to pray is in the spirit. But we've got to pray for President Trump. This is an article. It's an op-ed in the Jerusalem Post today. And it's by a man, Shmuley Boteach, who is called the best known rabbi in America. And the head of the op-ed is Trump's love affair with Israel and the Jewish people. The critics of Trump on grounds of character forget that public achievement always trumps private action. And I'm going to read you some of this because we just got to hold this blessing Israel stance that we have. And here's his article. As a Jew who travels extensively, I have found that being open about my Jewishness can be lonely. By refusing to make compromises on things like wearing a kippah in public in countries like France, the UK, Germany, and New Zealand, more and more stares come my way in a world where anti-Semitism is growing and Israel is vilified. Even the American Jewish community is feeling more and more isolated as anti-Semites now openly walk the halls of Congress. And parties that have been previously stalwart foes of anti-Semitism, like the Democrats, cannot muster the moral courage to condemn Jew hatred specifically and unequivocally. It was for that reason that I sat in awe this weekend and watched as the President of the United States and just 2 hours later the Vice President spoke at the Republican Jewish Coalition and vowed their unalloyed support of the Jewish people and Israel, and the determination to fight enemies of the Jewish people to the bone. Hearing the most powerful man on earth acknowledge the rise of Jew hatred all over the globe and his declaration of war against it helped to greatly assuage Jewish feelings of isolation and abandonment. U.S. President Donald Trump told us that we're not in this fight alone. There will be no modern Masada. There is no fortress Israel. The most powerful nation on earth is by Israel's side. Trump fulfilled his campaign promises to pull the U.S. out of the nuclear agreement with Iran, to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and to move our embassy. Now he has also recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Israelis and many Orthodox Jews recognize his contributions to the safety and security of Israel. Yet most American Jews remain hostile toward him. I have seen Jews liken him to Israel, Hitler. I've seen Jews liken him to Hitler and refer to him as an uncommon racist and an abomination to values. These are often the same people who supported President Obama's catastrophic Iranian deal, where $150 billion was given to Ayatollah Khamenei, a real Hitler aspirant. They're so desperate for peace agreements that they are prepared to sacrifice Jerusalem to the Palestinians and the Golan Heights to the Syrians. Now, I want to take a side note away from this article, which I'm going to read you more about it in a minute. This man, I tell you, from the think tank, I ask him the question, when will our president put forth his peace agreement, peace plan? And he said, well, I have advised them, Jared Kushner and Greenblatt, hold off. Don't, when a government's being formed and it's just in its new states and it's, you know, it's precarious, don't put something that's going to divide them and divide people. So he said it could be, it should be quite a long time now, even way down into December, before the president, he said, I have advised them to wait to December for the peace plan. Now, back to the article. There is little I can say to those who still fail to recognize how disastrous the nuclear deal was. Given our knowledge of Iran's continued steps toward developing a nuclear bomb, their ongoing sponsorship of terrorism, and he goes on and on about that. And then he goes on and on about not being able to understand why American Jews from the Democratic Party can't see this. And then he goes like this. While the world turns virulently against Israel and a tsunami of anti-Semitism is unleashed around the globe, America has a president who will not feed Palestinian fantasies of dividing Jerusalem. America has a president who has made clear that the U.S. will not subsidize Palestinian terrorism and obstructionism. America has a president who recognizes that the route to peace is not one-sided. Pressure on Israel and the Palestinians must agree to recognize and live in peace beside this Jewish state. America has a president who understands that radical Islam is a threat to Western civilization and is unafraid to say so, unlike Obama's comical, quote, violent extremism, which was an affront to both its victims and common sense. Critics of Trump on grounds of character forget that public achievement always trumps private action. The relative importance of character is reflected in the Bible, where flawed human beings engaged in questionable behavior, and yet they are remembered for their actions that influence the future of the Jewish people. We do not ignore that Jacob favored Joseph, bringing rank dysfunction into his family, or that David had a relationship with Bathsheba, or that Moses disobeyed God and was denied entrance to the Holy Land. However, without Jacob, there would be no Jewish people. Without Moses, there would be no Jewish liberation and no Jewish faith. And without David, there would be no Jerusalem, no Jewish sovereignty, and no Jewish state. America's leaders have all been flawed, but we remember them more for their deeds than their character. Think about Thomas Jefferson and his relationship with Sally Hemings. And he goes on with that and points out his flaws and points out Franklin Roosevelt's flaws. But then the things that they did do good and Kennedy's flaws. And he goes on, we know about Kennedy's, but he led us in the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is not to say that Donald Trump should be immune from criticism, but he must be given credit for striking the tyrant Assad, pushing back against Iranian genocidal aspirations, and most of all, standing with the Jewish people while the rest of the world once again falls prey to the world's oldest hatred. Now, this is by Rabbi Shmuley, and he is Washington Post and Newsweek have called him the most famous rabbi in America. Folks, I know that I've talked the whole time, but I'm telling you, we've got to do like never before. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving up thanks be made for all men. And here's how you pray for all men. You pray for their leaders. You pray for kings. You pray for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so I'm going to sign off now, but I want to leave you with this. Father, in the name above all names, here we are, all of us gathered. I signed on late. There were 60 on already, and I got 41 states and Australia and Canada. Holy Father, we want to thank you for hearing and answering prayer. And once again, without knowing, I still don't know, your will for Israel's leaders and elections. But whatever it is, we're going to pray, and we ask you to give us an utterance that it will be done. Father, we must have the United States of America doing and blessing Israel, like our president is doing. So, Lord, I'm asking you, hear the prayers of these folks that they pray after we've met together today. And, folks, I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Pray in the spirit. Pray for us in this meeting. Pray for me when I go home. Pray for Migdal Arbel. So many things that the Lord wants me to do and many things he wants you to do. So lift them up to him as we approach these wondrous best of times and worst of times, what the Bible calls the end of days before the wonderful King Messiah comes. I love you, and it's good to be with you again. Shalom, shalom.